Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. He loves us. And remember, He has a plan for every portion of our lives. The Lord, He evaluates everything perfectly. So whatever He gives you to do in these days, jump on it. Today is Monday, September the 13th, 2021, and I thank God for this wonderful day that the Lord has made. Whatever God gives you to do, jump on it. Do it, because His return is imminent. He explained to me some things, reasons why He must return. And in returning imminently, more people will live. He evaluates everything, and he helps us to go forward. He helps us to see things as they really are. The Lord put the end time things in His own power, and trying to figure it out is useless. You can't. When He told me that, He said, "Tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready that they be not left." In 2017, November 2017, I didn't just hear the word. I sensed an urgency with it. And I wanted to do something that day. And so I saw it. The first thing I did was got more information. I sought the Lord about this. This is serious. When He does something like that, it's serious. Now, one thing that made it serious in 2016, that's when He really started dealing with me about end time things. On the radio, I was talking about family things. I was talking about the things of God, things people deal with in life. And then He started talking about end time things. And so I look at all of that. In 2012, when He told me to pray, He said, "There's something happening in the spirit." So I started praying. I prayed for those that follow God first, and then and those that don't follow God yet. I was praying for. He stopped me. He said, "Only pray for those who follow me." I'm looking at the consistency of all of this. And since that time, I've been praying for His people who follow Him. And then when I read the prayer of Jesus in 2017, He prayed for those that heard Him and those that hear them, who hear Him. But He didn't pray for everybody. He prayed for those who heard His message. He was praying for His disciples. And not only them, but those that would hear them, and follow God, of course, like they did. Now, I'm looking at all of this when other people are looking at other things, when they don't believe that the Lord is going to imminently return. Some Christians are looking for a great revival, which I'm all for it. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm all for a revival. But I'm also realistic. When I had such a time with pastors not following God to His specifications, I understood that a lot of things just cannot happen, at least through their ministries. And the Lord taught me also that the people that listen to the pastors, which, you know, they would do, they're just like the pastors. But some things got to happen before other things can happen. God's specifications of you following Him is more like what Jesus did. He said, "I speak what I hear I do what I see my Father do. I speak the words that my Father give me to speak. I speak what I hear my Father say." And He was adamant about that. And then the apostles who turned the world upside down, they did what Jesus did. They obeyed the Holy Spirit. They obeyed the Father's will. When God told Paul not to speak a word in Asia, he didn't go into a wrestling match with God. He obeyed him. He didn't say, well, we really wanted to go, Lord, and I don't see a reason why we shouldn't. He didn't get the deacons to vote on whether he should do this or not. He didn't ask Barnabas what his opinion was, and Barnabas didn't ask Paul what his opinion was. They went where God told them to go. See, when you do something that God didn't say do, or you do the opposite of what God said, you're walking out of wisdom. And you're walking into something that won't work. See, you have to consider what God is doing. And it's important to stick with and continue with the specific instructions of the Holy Spirit. See, the specific instructions of God, they are there. It's already been selected in wisdom, according to God's wisdom. When you obey Him, you're going to learn something you can't learn any other way. It's great faith to follow God. When people follow their own will, they can't learn the Father's ways. It's not possible. And there's a lot of elements that the church have not gained because they've been self-willed in the past. And I don't like saying that, but that's how it is. Did they do it God's way or did they do it man's way? And we all know they did it man's way. So you get what you get. And a lot of things you have to be trained in following God. The training time it takes, the time it takes getting to know the Lord. When I follow God, when God gives me something, there's always a consistency with what He's done in the past. It's a flow. And when you stay with it, you keep learning. When you deviate, you stop. You stop a holy process from going forward. And that's where we're at now. And see, because people have, if a man can be self-willed, He can adopt things that God didn't give as true. And then people only produce fruit after their type. If you continually obey God, you'll produce fruit that continually obeys God to His specifications. But when you start obeying God to your specifications, You cut off a process that cannot operate in your life and ministry. Now let's look at Acts chapter 16. Very important. Now in chapter 15, Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. All right, in chapter 16. Then came he to Derbe. That's how, see, he started off, it was Barnabas and Saul. But in chapter 15, Barnabas went another way, and then Paul took Silas with him. Okay. Paul's name was Saul. They changed, God changed his name. All right. Then came he, verse 1, Acts 16, 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. I get it right. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for it to keep. that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in numbers daily. See, they delivered them the decrees. They didn't have the Bible to refer to, so the apostles gave them some guidelines to go by to help them stay abreast of the things that they needed to know as new believers. And remember something, these were men who followed Jesus to the T. They laid their life down, their lives down for the call of God, and they obeyed him. They lived in obedience. That's the most powerful life that you can ever live. Now, just because a man is skilled in faith, he's used to the things of faith, and he can believe God and get things done, that's important. Now, when you compare it to a cold tradition, that's wonderful. But when you compare it to following God, those abilities can be very useful, but following God is so much greater and to the point. What would a man choose to do? People choose things according to desire. Before a man would hope for something, he's got to desire it first. But see, when you follow God, God's going to lead you beyond things that you know to desire. You don't have the knowledge to desire some of the things you're going to enter into. So when you follow God, it can be a mystery to you or an unknown. But if you've been following God in the past, it always turned out greater than your expectations. And people come to life because of your faithfulness. Faithfulness can be according to a man's desire, and better yet, God's desire. So if a man, people that love God, they're going to obey something of God anyway, right off the bat. They're not in sin. They're doing what they think is best. And then God always had to work with what they gave him to work with. So men are going to do what they would desire to do. That's good and acceptable. But when God gives you something to do, it's going to go far beyond what you could think about or even know to ask about. And so sometimes because people don't know what they're getting into, they stick to what they know. And that's where the problem is, because until you can use your faith to go through the doors of God, so to speak, and follow him through unknown doors. And that's a good way to put it. You're going into doors and caverns. You're following God into doors and caverns that you know nothing about, have never been there before, have no experience. This can seem to make a man uncomfortable, or a woman. But when you go there, you're going to find out why. And God already plotted the course. He knows what's best. You've gotten to a point where he can trust you with this information. So now all you got to do is go. And you don't know what you're doing, but he's with you. Just like he was in the beginning when you didn't know what you was doing at all. So you have a reason to trust him to go through this door or this cavern that you've never been in. And you don't know what you're getting into, but God is with you. So when you go, now if you have that ability to obey God with an unknown, you also have the ability to be guided out of danger. And you also have the ability to be guided into greater things, greater knowledge, greater wisdom. And so a ministry has a route. People don't know this, but it does. And it requires your faithfulness to not only stand on the word of God and believe God for things, but the main things you got to believe God for is his will. You got to believe him enough to obey his perfect will. and go through the doors that God is opening for you. And if God say it doesn't matter which one you choose, that means it's going to be good either way. But the Lord asked me, my pastor is a prophet also, and he said in 1 year, I think it was 2016, he said that the Lord's going to give you a door. He told the whole church this. He's going to open up two or three doors for you. Well, you know, he's going to present you with two or three doors. And either one you walk in is up to you. It doesn't matter which one you choose. That's how you... And he showed us a picture of... had three doors on it. Three golden doors. And I think they were golden. And they... three beautiful doors. And they were opportunities we could take. Whichever. And so just like the prophet said... the Lord came to me with two choices. And he said, you can take one door. In one door, you're going to become very famous. In the other door, you won't become famous in ministry. Both ways were effective. He was going to send me to more people either way. So, now, I really don't want to be famous. That's never been a desire for me to be famous. I just want to do God's will till he come take us out of here. I'm not trying to be humble. That's just how it is. But fame can be useful. I thought about that. Sometimes God can use you in a greater way if people know you. They'll read your books and listen to you when they see other people listening. You know. I said, Lord, which way would bring more souls to your kingdom? He said, the way where you're unknown. I said, well, that's the way we're going. It's all right to ask questions. And then he took it from there. So God is good. And he explained some things about my ministry too. If I told you everything, it'll make sense to you. But that's how he told me. And I said, which way would bring more souls? That's what we and this way, the way that I chose will bring more souls. That's what we do. That's the goal. Get more souls in the kingdom. So, and I said, I even asked him, is that what you want? He said, that's a good choice. Let's go with that one. I'm settled. I'm happy. Now, when you obey God and things happen according to his specifications, and it's just like when you're ministering to people and he give you what to say and you're ministering to people all over the audience and people are receiving and growing. You didn't know how to do that. God did. And then at the end of the message, you're so glad you did it God's way. Well, that's how it is when you go through the doors of God instead of the doors of tradition or the doors of man or the door that you made. Because people have kept going through the doors of traditions and the doors of doctrines and the doors of the assemblies that they gather at, the traditions of men and the traditions of organizations and whatever's in their own mind, they go through those doors instead of God's door. They can't learn what would happen. It's just like if you preached an alternative message instead of what God gave you. It will not do the same thing as the one God gave you for that audience. But when you, I know what I'm talking about. I see this every Sunday. My pastors, Pastor Jim III, I still consider him my pastor. And his son is now the pastor of the church. He's my pastor too. When they preach, it hits home with what God is doing in your life. See, when you're following God and you're not bucking against the the perfect door of God, the perfect plan and wisdom of God. You're going through the doors. You're doing what God said do. Confirmations always come. You're not going to walk into an unknown without God. If you need a confirmation, he's going to give you one, or many as you need, as long as you're in faith. And everything that they say is relevant. As long as you're in faith. If you're in faith, you're continually stepping behind Jesus. You're following him. You're going with him wherever he's going. And because of that, it's going to enable you to meet people that's going to be important to what you're doing. And as I follow God, God links me with people that need to be linked with me. It's just like the church I go to. The Lord linked me with that church. I was crying out before I said, Lord, do you have anybody that want to follow you like you want them to? And I said, before I die, before you come back, I want to work with people that's serious about following you and just doing whatever it is you want to do. And I put that before him. And then the Lord, when my wife's father died, we were going to North Carolina to the funeral. And the Lord told me on that road trip, it's very important you go to this church. He answered my prayer, basically. And being there, I witnessed things that I'm so glad I followed God. My children still talk about the things that they learned there. They saw miracles. They experienced miracles. They experienced healing. They didn't just hear about it. They experienced it. So when you obey God, I've seen churches, they get to a point. God was about to establish them, basically. And he sent the right people. And they were hungry. They were on fire for God. And it was time for them to flow in the gifts. And then, but I had this peculiar message from the Lord saying that I had to tell that pastor, if you don't allow the people to use the gifts they got, he's going to send them away. Now, I know why he did it, because he had talked to me about it. See, when people when God raised people up, ministries are, you know, I look back at my past, there are many things that happened to get me to a point where I did follow God. He used different ministries to get me to different points that I needed to get. And then he sent me to ministries to help them get to where they need to get. And if they chose not to walk in the doors of God, God would send me to another one. God was looking for somebody that would start obeying him to his specifications and walk through the doors that God opens, and not try to walk through the doors of tradition, which most people did. When I would give the message about following God, most people would do what they thought was best. They would do what they were dedicated to. They were following God the way that they understood. But they didn't, you know, when you follow God, you have to yield to whatever he give you. Now, there's a reason for it. But what do people do? They vote on what they should do next. Now watch this. This is back at Acts 16. All right, verse 4. As they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. So it was working. Now when they had gone through Phrygia, Phrygia, and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Okay. Wait a minute, Lord. We're used to success. If we go to Asia, we're close to it. We can just preach and keep going. But the Holy Ghost forbade them to do it. Now, modern day preachers would get the deacons together and they tell what, you know, the Holy Spirit don't really want us to go to Asia. And they didn't want to raise their hand, but you're already in Asia. How could the Holy Ghost say that not to go? You see all the success we had at other places. Are you sure it was the Holy Ghost? And then another one would say, well, I think, you know, that'll get him going. What the other guy said. Well, I agree with him. While we're here, we ought to just, these people need to know the Lord too. And then another say, I agree with him. I agree. Well, we vote that we ought to just continue in Asia. Let's just go to Asia and see what happens. All right. Why did God say don't go? They didn't ask that question. They just surmised this is a good idea to go to Asia anyway. That's how people override the Holy Spirit. God, if God puts something in your heart, forget about what other people think. For once. If God said don't preach a word, you know, don't preach the word in Asia, don't do it. Wait. Timing is everything. You go to Asia, what if half of them got killed? What if all of them got killed? We wouldn't have any other Bible. I mean, we wouldn't have the writings of Paul at this point. Now watch this. After they will come to Mysia, they are said to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. Now, here's another deviation by the Holy Ghost. And they passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Now watch this. They still don't know why the Holy Spirit forbade them to go to these places. But watch this. Verse 9. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. That's a lot of walking. And you don't know why God told you not to do it. Sometimes people let that bother. But when you're doing what God said do, be confident in what God said do. In verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now he has a direction. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. God sent people, he told me this protocol. He sent me to people that are strong first, people that are hearing. Get them on board. Then he'll deal with people that's more reluctant. And that's how he's always done it. I often wanted to go to places and, you know, but when I yield to the Lord, I go where he sends me. I wait. I don't go out of time. It's very important. Some people never know that. And greater measures of success happen when you do it God's way. And that's the point of all of this. So people have not been doing these things. And the revival that people desire so much, it cannot happen the way that they want it to. Because they're geared up the way that they were. They're not geared up the way God needs them to be. They're not geared up to follow God to his specs. They're geared up to follow God according to their specifications. And it's not enough. And now there's not enough training time for most of them to get on board with following God. Everything that I'm saying, it takes training. God will train you. But I've been preaching 40 years. If you're going to follow God, you're going to have his training. Without it, it's not going to work right. And now, people that they're used to the way you've done it. So, that's like turning a steamship. It's going at top speed. It's not just going to turn. You should have turned it a long time ago. God will have to raise up new people. And that's what he did. 30 years ago, he told me what he was going to do. Okay, now, and after he had seen the vision, immediately endeavored to go down to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, Loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in the city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to this thorn in the flesh, I'm adding that, and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. And you know, of course, this is what got Paul and Silas through in jail, where they had a jail.